And welcome to the NLP and Money Recordings. My name is Mr. 2020, and today is November 28, 2011. And I'm coming to you live from Tampa, Florida, USA. I'm on a temporary flyabout from my home in Melbourne, Australia. So I mention that because what I want to do is I want to set the stage here. I want to share with you some stories, real stories from my life. Because real stories from my life will impact the real stories from your life. You know, literally, theory is one thing, but allowing yourself to experience a different reality by joining someone else in their stories, that changes everything. You'll notice as you listen to the recordings that they're not, quote-unquote, studio, polished, edited. This is real life. You'll hear a couple ahs once in a while, maybe a little background noise or something. And that's fine, because that's what life is all about. Life has hesitations and background noises and waiting for the next step to show up inside your mind. So what I want you to do is I want to invite you back to being human. You know, what I want to do, what I choose to do, is to invite you back to you. Because the closer you come to you, the closer you come to the present, the more likely you're going to be able to open the present that's being given to you. Participate in the present moment that's here right now, because that's the only place you're going to get paid. So let's dive in. So we're going to start with three little bits, three little pigs. And the three little pigs are presuppositions, questions, and stories. Because what we're going to do here is we're going to set the stage for the custom recording bit with this NLP and money recording package. And we've got to set the stage in a very peculiar way, because if we don't set the stage, it gets a little rough. You know, for example, setting the stage involves I'm staying at one of my best friends, my best mate's homes here in Florida, and they've given me a darling room to stay in, and my girlfriend will be joining me here in a week, and life is quite lovely. You know, life is what you make it. But you've got to make something with it. You know, literally, I'm going to tell you a tiny little story and another tiny little story inside of another tiny little story, because this is how our minds actually work. Our minds work with stories. We manufacture stories. We've got basics that the stories hook on. Basically, our presuppositions and our questions. We'll be exploring what those are in a minute. But literally, what I want to talk about is creating stuff, because literally, we are designed as creators. You know, in Genesis, you know, one of the early spiritual books in the Bible, and in, you know, in the Jewish and the Christian traditions, there's the creation story. In the creation story, it states that we are made in the image of God. Many old cultures that I'm familiar with, the Native Americans that I've worked with, you know, their traditions start with creation stories. The Aboriginals state that the world is sung into being. Some of the Aboriginal tribes say this. I was just talking with a friend of mine the other day. Well, I can't include that in this recording. Anyway, by the way, when I mention I can't include that in this recording, literally inside your mind you can do the same thing. I'm not just rambling, but I'm also demonstrating process. When your mind starts to go in a direction that you don't want to include anymore, all you have to do is say, you know, I don't want to include that anymore. I don't want to include that anymore in my life, in this story. What I do want to do is open up to more love, more possibility, less fear, less anger, less crap from the bottom of the box. So, what are we going to create? You and I today, with your input for the custom recordings here, and my experience in life in NLP and the personal stories that I share, what we're going to do today is we're going to create a package that's going to change lives. Your life, my life, the lives of your children, the lives of your friends, your family, the lives of anyone that you meet. Because literally, whenever you change, whenever you grow, you invite the people around you to change. You invite the people around you to grow. You don't tell them to. You don't make them. You don't even have to, quote-unquote, encourage them to. But they will, because they see you not stuck as, well, as you were. Because we all can get stuck. So anyway, if you take a rock, a particular kind of rock, someone who's good at making tools can make tools out of that. That might have been your job in a tribe. Back in the ancient times, you took a rock and you made a tool out of it. And the tool could be a hammer, the tool could be an axe, the tool could be, a projectile point. The tool could have been, a knife. A tool could have been literally just about anything that you could make from stone or bone or wood. But there were people that were tool makers. There were people that made arrowheads. I'm sorry, arrow shafts. They would take a piece of wood and literally, you didn't just find a straight piece of wood and call that an arrow shaft. Almost all wood in the woods, in the bush, is bent. It's curved somewhat. And even if it's not, as it dries, it will curve a little bit. So you had to learn how to straighten it and make it just right so it would fly just right. And attach feathers at the rear end so there'd be a little bit of drag so it actually goes straight into the target. In the old days, we created stuff. And whether or not you create stuff like creating crafts, creating is a craft that you must have in life. Literally, we create our own opportunities. We create the stories in our heads that hold us back. And we create the strategies and the tactics and the willingness. We do create the willingness to take them, to take advantage of them, to utilize the strategies, the tactics, the methods that we know to make money. To hold on to it a little bit and to spend it wisely. And when I say spending it wisely and to hold on to it, a lot of people hold their breath. But what I want you to think of is, again, we want to become more natural around this bit. Behind my home in Eltham, we have Keringle Gully, and it's basically a little stream, a little river. And that's wonderful. I notice a lot of people who are wealthy live next to bodies of water. And live next to rivers. And it's interesting, most of the most valuable real estate is next to the ocean, it's next to the rivers. And one of the things that my partner and I talk about is, by the way, in the States, if I say my partner, that implies that I've got a relationship with a man to a lot of people. In Australia, if I say my partner, that could mean anything. My partner, her name is Victoria. And she's quite lovely. And so I toss that in because as you explore the recordings here, again, I'm going to be breaking a lot of bits out. What I say to you is going to mean something to you. It may mean something different to you than it does to me. It may mean something different to you tomorrow when you listen to the recording, because quite literally, we have to think about our personal histories, our cultures. My friend Dale and I, and I'm tossing a lot of stories in here. These will all tie together in some wonderful ways. We go to an op shop, a thrift store, the other day. And to a lot of people in the thrift store, a lot of what we're looking at is junk or stuff that they could use around the house. For Dale and I, what we're looking for is stuff that is possible to resell on eBay and make some decent money on. Because there's stuff out there that you can sell. You can go to the op shops, the thrift stores, and sell some of this stuff and make some really decent money. You just have to train yourself to get up and go to the op shop, for an hour a day, 5 days a week, and see what's coming up. And you have to, be able to understand what sells and what doesn't sell. So you literally have to educate yourself a little bit, consider some alternative possibilities. And again, what Dale and I see when we're in the op shop is different than what a lot of people see. We see opportunity, and we've got a strategy and a tactic and a method to utilize that opportunity and make some money. So, when I say the word partner, for some people that would imply that, I have a mailman that I have a relationship with. Again, some people, mailman means one thing. In Australia, you would call it a postie. But I am in a relationship with a woman who's an IT professional and forex trader. And again, I mention that because we want to remember what things mean to us can evolve over time. What things mean to us, literally, having your own business, taking a risk, deciding whether or not you can afford something or someone else can afford your services. We're going to discover new levels of meaning behind the stories that we've been holding, the presuppositions we have, and the questions that we ask in this tiny little series of recordings. And again, let's just set the stage. Let's just have some fun. So as we set the stage for these recordings here, what I want you to do is this. I want you to imagine the life of the internet marketer. The life of the internet marketer, there's a couple different ways we can make money. But literally, we've got to create an environment where we're focused and where we're having fun. As we do what we do. Literally, it's not like, web surfing. Web surfing, you can have, internet marketing, you can have multiple windows open at once. web surfing can have multiple windows open at once. But what you want to do is you want to start understanding, why do I do what I do, and what am I doing, and does it serve me? And in the name of all that's holy, don't beat yourself up. Don't stab yourself and put holes in yourself so that you leak. Stop. Just notice what you're doing and change it. Yeah, quite literally, there's a reason why you do what you do. And that's what we're going to start getting into right now. Just again, we're sort of spiraling into this because it's a really nice way to go. So, yeah, let's just dive in. So if we're setting the stage, what we want to do, like right now, yeah, I told Pam and Dale, those are my people that I'm staying with here in Tampa, that I'm going to make a recording. And they said, you know, anytime you want to make a recording 20, let us know. That way we won't be slamming doors and making noise and all that stuff. Literally, that sets the stage. A tiny little bit of communication, a tiny little bit of reaching out, a tiny little bit of just getting beyond the box makes a difference. So I'm setting the stage, and again, while I'm talking about this, I'm mentioning elements of the stage here. Part of the stage for making this recording involved me plugging in my recording gear, checking my computer, making sure it's all ready to go, letting Pam and Dale know I'm making a recording, pulling out my notebook because I've got plenty of notes for this recording series here. Making a cup of coffee. So, setting the stage. What we want to start doing is noticing how we set the stage. So there's two ways we set the stage when it comes to money. At least two ways. We're going to start with two. One is your inner game, one's your outer game. Literally, to set the stage, to make money, to have more money, to be more wealthy, we've got the inner game and the outer game, and you've got to play both. You know, literally, the outer game is like your right foot, and the inner game's like your left foot. And if you like both your right and your left foot, and you take good care of both of them, you'll probably be able to walk pretty well and go in a straight line and get to where you want to go. On the other hand, if you like one more than the other, if you really favor the left foot, you'll go in a spiral to the left, a circle on the left. You'll probably be asking questions like, why are my beliefs still getting in the way? On the other hand, on the right foot, if we're talking about the outer game, you'll probably be wondering or going, you know what, I gotta learn one more way to make money online. I need to learn one more trading method. I need to get one more job. I need to work one more hour overtime every day. You know, literally, we've got the inner game, the left side, and we've got the outer game, the right side. And they're both important to notice because literally, at some point you notice, I'm working 12 hours a game, or 12 hours a day. In other words, I'm trying to add on to my outer game. And that's killing me. You know, Tim Ferriss, a book that I suggest that everyone read that wants to experience more wealth and fun in life, and we'll be exploring what that means, is The 4-Hour Workweek. Because, you know, Tim had a pretty interesting and almost unique story. He worked way too much. And his girlfriend finally gave him a plaque that basically said, the work day ends at 5, I'm out of here. She never saw him. You know, he was working a lot, living in his cubicle at work, all that bits, you know, being up late at night to call. I mean, he worked way too much. And finally, she had enough. You know, because he was focused more on his outer game, doing more and more and more, being up earlier so he could call the people overseas to take care of the bits before the people that got in the office at 9 o'clock. You know, you can only do so much outer game. Then you have to go, you know what, I'm switching to a new inner game. I'm leaving, let's try this one on, safety and security and being careful, to being carefree, to being caring. You know, careful, you know, I love words. Careful, you know, seeking security often isolates us and often limits us. You know, in Forex trading, I notice if I trade focused on safety only, I never take any trades. On the other hand, if I take a trade that feels good, looks good, fits my criteria, and I really evaluate the risk. Again, we'll be talking about these things throughout the course as well, not just in Forex, but in life. One of the things that I notice is that I do well. And again, let's go back to setting the stage. Let's go back to presuppositions. You know, presuppositions are a part of setting the stage. So, again, we're spiraling into this. By the way, why don't I teach rule linear? Why don't I just go, a presupposition is this, and your presuppositions, based upon the emails that you sent me, are these. And the new presuppositions that will serve you will be those. And in order to put new presuppositions in your head, you have to do this. You know, all that material will be in these recordings. However, your mind doesn't work that way. Your mind bounces back and forth, side to side. Your mind spirals. Literally, this is how people move when they think. This is how people's, yeah, if I actually get them to say out loud what's going on while it's going on, we notice that they're loopy, that they're spirally, that they're back and forthy. But oftentimes people wait and they talk after they put it into a nice logical linear order that has three or less points. That's not how your brain works. That's the final product. What we want to do is we want to play where and how your mind works. So, presuppositions. Let's actually talk about these a little tiny bit. A presupposition is what I prefer to work with instead of beliefs, because beliefs, people think, oh, they've got these deep, dark, hidden beliefs, things that they've had since childhood, things that are hard to erase. And they are, because you made them up. Now, your parents may have made them up, and you got them from them, but you made up your mind. Think about phrases here. We're going to talk about phrases. You made up your mind. I read this stuff in your emails. You made up your mind to adopt these things. And what we're going to do is we're going to adopt other things, other people, other ways of in your life, so you can make up your mind again. Think about it. You made up your mind. Richard Bandler, you know, one of the people that I treasure being able to have trained with, you know, he's one of the founders of NLP, says, I made it up. You guys, go out and make up your own stuff. You know, literally, you make up your mind, and you pretend it's a permanent bit. You just keep making it up the same way. It's like making the bed. If you make the bed a certain way every day, well, you know, that's the way it is. But you can start making the bed up another way just by changing up some specifics. So let's talk about presuppositions. Suppose you could just change your mind. Yeah, suppose you could change the way you look at things when you walk into a thrift store. What if instead of just looking at stuff going, oh, that would look nice on the table, what if you noticed, you know what, that item right there is still in its box and it's 20 years old and it's brand new. I wonder if it's worth anything. Let me call home and ask my sweetheart to look at it up on eBay real quick. And whether or not he finds it in a current auction, he can click a little button that says closed auctions and see if it's sold recently for some decent money. Because that's a way to make money. It's a little outside of the box. You go to an op shop, a thrift store, you find something that's new in the box, that's old, or even new, you don't know. But you take a look around, especially if you live near a retirement community or where rich people live, you go to those kind of op shops, thrift stores, and you check them out. But we're presupposing that this, you know, again, we're presupposing something. We're presupposing that you don't need to do all 9 to 5. And make it 9 to 6 and 9 to 7. We're presupposing that we can learn some new strategies. Suppose you went to the thrift store, the op shop, and you looked at things a tiny little bit differently, and you saw opportunity instead of just stuff. What if you looked at your mind, your thoughts, and instead of just seeing stuff, you saw opportunity to package something a little bit differently? So you'll notice I'm playing with both your inner game and your outer game at the same time. If I do a good job and you're a little bit ambitious, you might decide, you know what, I wouldn't mind making an extra $100 a week or $1,000 a week or maybe even just $10 a week. That'd be nice to give the kids. By going to an op shop, a thrift store, and looking for bits that I might be able to sell on eBay or Craigslist or whatever we've got Gumtree down in Oz. So what I want you to do is I want you to start seeing differently. If you can see something differently on the outside, for example, going to the op shop, okay, you're looking at things. Yep, that'll go good, that won't go good. You look at your thoughts. Yep, that thought supports my success. Excuse me. That thought supports my success. That thought doesn't. You literally can start selecting. Now, if we talk about thoughts as presuppositions, what do we presuppose about ourselves? What do we presuppose about money? What do we presuppose about making money, having money, keeping money? What do we presuppose about giving money away? Again, let's break up the word, presuppose. What do we suppose? Suppose you could think differently about what happens when you go into a thrift store. Suppose you weren't just looking for you, but you were looking for your family. Not just for their rooms, but for their potential. What if you taught your kids to do this? To look for stuff that that's in high demand, or could be. Find a way to check it, because you could go call home. You could have a little iPad or iPod and check on that bit. You know, see what's selling on eBay, what's not. you know, again, there's yeah, you and also after a while you develop an eye for this. What if you started seeing life as an opportunity instead of an obstacle? Because some people presuppose, they wake up every morning and you go, yep, life's an obstacle. I wonder what the obstacles are going to be today. And other people wake up and they go, yep, life's an opportunity. I wonder what I'm going to learn today. I wonder how I'm going to apply it. I wonder how it'll benefit my friends and family. Because, yeah, you know, Pam, Dale, Vic, they see things a little differently than I do. And if we just chat a little bit, instead of being in our own little worlds, and we do chat a little bit, we all grow. We all get something. We all get to give something. And it's not about being right or wrong in a conversation. That shows up a lot in conversations. You know, or we can be the ones that are right because we've all been wronged. You know, there's a reason why I'm poor. I'm poor because I'm a white guy without military experience. By the way, this is one of my old stories. You can have old stories and you can let them go. So one of mine back in the old days was, you know what? I couldn't get a decent job in a police department because I was a white guy without military experience. In the United States, if you were a minority or you had military experience, you got extra points on the test. Consistently, I'd score very high on the tests, and I already had my education taken care of. However, I had a tough time getting a job. And you know what? In Pennsylvania, it was pretty much impossible to get a job unless you knew somebody or you were a minority and had military experience. But I could have gone to Maryland or D.C. I had friends that did that. I had friends that went to Virginia. I had friends that went to Florida and got jobs because Florida, Maryland, D.C., Virginia, they were looking for cops. You know, you could just walk in, sign up, and if you had any education or experience, they hired you. So my excuse of, well, you know, I can't become a cop because I'm a white guy without military experience, that was true in Pennsylvania. But a tiny shift, in other words, moving a couple hundred miles, easy, quick job. That's rock and roll. It's those kind of bits. So I had a belief system, quote unquote. Well, I presupposed I couldn't get a job. And it was true. But we can take our presuppositions. In other words, suppose I would have moved. And this is one of the keys here with the word presupposition versus belief. You know, look at belief. Be life. Belief. You know, literally, look at how words process in the mind. They process literally in some really weird ways. People will defend their belief systems to the point that they die. In other words, they will make their belief systems more important than themselves. In other words, they won't fully live because of their beliefs. On the other hand, suppose changing your mind was pretty simple. Okay, as I look at your emails, I notice there are opportunities to change your mind, to make up your mind a little bit differently. Again, if we're going to make something up, let's make up something that's useful. In other words, my girlfriend comes home. She's 15 minutes late for lunch, and she's a little hyper. And I go, what did I do? I made something up. I made the fact that she came home late because she didn't want to see me, because I did something. What didn't I do? I didn't make the bed. Oh, God, when she sees that, I better hold my breath, and then she'll see me holding my breath, and she gets tenser, and I'll run over and I'll make the bed. Instead of saying hi and giving her a kiss, I'm over there making the bed, running away from her, because I made up stuff. I made up my mind. You make up your mind as well. You make up your mind as far as your limitations. You make up your mind whether or not people can afford your services. Because you know what? There's a benefit if they can't afford it. There's a benefit. We get to give away, you know. I love what I do so much, I get to give it away. I've done that. I know a lot of people that have done that. By the way, in your emails, what I see are pretty common bits. Peculiar ways of doing them, but pretty common bits. One of my bits in the old days was, you know what? If I'm the one giving it away and they're making lots of money, or even if they're not making lots of money, but if I'm, you know what? I love what I do so much, I'd give it away. I'd do it for free. When I talk to wealthy people, they have tremendous amounts of fun around what they do. They presuppose they can do what's fun and make money at it. People who don't make money doing something that's fun either are doing something they hate doing for money, or they're doing something fun and they're not making any money at it because they go, I'd do it even if I didn't make money. They're presuppositions. They suppose... Well, you know what? They suppose, and I've heard this many times, overtly and covertly in the way people talk, the way people write, I suppose if I did it for money, it wouldn't be fun anymore. I suppose if I start doing it for money, well, greed, fear can get in the way of the fun. I suppose if we... Well, what are you supposing? What are you supposing about you? Suppose it really was easy for you to make money. Let's back up a little bit. Suppose it's actually easy to make money. Suppose it's actually easier to be successful. Okay? Suppose it's easy to make money. Suppose it's easier for you to be successful. Suppose it's simple to make money. Suppose you can simply be successful as well. Just take some simple steps. Go to the op shop for an hour a day. Okay? Find out the good ones. You'll figure out the good ones pretty quick. Don't just look the way that you've been looking. Learn to see with new eyes. Again, we're talking inner game and outer game here. Your thoughts as well as the stuff that's on the shelf. Because your thoughts are nothing more than things anyway. I have a thought. I have a sailboat. It's the same thing. You can see either one of them differently. You can see either one of them as an opportunity to grow, to become more wealthy, to share and spread more wealth in the world. Anyway, presuppositions versus beliefs. Do me a favor. Adopt my belief system. My belief system is that beliefs are BS. I know. I can make a lot of money if I write a book on beliefs, and I might. I might just call it Beliefs Are BS. Belief systems. BS. Belief systems are BS. I have a belief system, and it's a system that tends to hold me back. And it's BS. And it's based on what I presuppose. What shows up before I suppose, what shows up as I suppose, what supposing preempts in my life, presuppositions, supposing, presupposing. If I presuppose that you're going to get what I'm talking about here, you'll get it. I'll communicate a little bit more fluidly. If I presuppose that I might have to educate you a little bit on my methods, and by the way, I've noticed that's a good thing, I'll do that as well. If I presuppose that this recording will make a difference in your life and mine, what will show up will make a difference in your life and mine. On the other hand, if I presuppose that if my girlfriend walks in the door 10 minutes late for lunch, she must be mad at me, something gets in the way. What I want you to do is notice what you presuppose. And by the way, my thing with my girlfriend, it goes back to my mother. It's not that my mom was a bad person. Okay, I want to clarify that real quick. It's that for some reason, as a little boy, yeah, I presupposed that if mom's upset, well, if she's a little late and she's upset, I must have done something. Well, from what I can tell, that comes back to a real story. She was talking with a friend about what I did. She was a little bit late for dinner. She comes home upset, and guess what? She tells me what I did wrong because she was just talking with her friend about it. So when the girlfriend comes home a few minutes late for a meal, there's a part of me, as ridiculous as it is, that presupposes that I did something wrong and that I'm in trouble. We run these childhood scripts, and one of the biggest things we can do, one of the most powerful things that we can do, is notice what we are presupposing in our lives and simply become aware of it and simply become aware of what BS it is. Because I'm not living with my mother. I'm living with a beautiful woman. My mom's a beautiful woman. I'm living with a beautiful woman who's a lovely friend, a lovely partner, and she deserves to relate to me and have me relate to her instead of me trying to relate to my mom as a little boy who's in trouble. It's the same with money. We all had childhood experiences. We all had young adult experiences. We even had adult experiences that we carry with us. And we presuppose on some level, on some mystical, magical level, that that's going to happen again. And we believe it's going to happen again. And what we can do, I mean, one thing that I notice, the stuff's always different at the op shop. One of the things that I notice with my coaching clients, their thoughts are always a tiny bit different. And if I can point out to them, there's a tiny little bit of difference in how they're thinking today. That reinforces them thinking differently, even more. In other words, if I can help you notice that you're the one that's literally, you make up your mind. If I can help you notice that you make up your mind a little bit differently today than you did yesterday, and you make up your mind a little bit differently tomorrow than you did today, One of the things that happens is you become really good at dynamically making up your mind. Okay, again, you made it up, like Richard made up NLP. When you start realizing how much you make up, you know, how much you, you know, make up your mind, how much you make up in your mind, you start to get freer. You don't need a better belief system. All you need to do is start presupposing less and start noticing more. Start presupposing more possibility in your life so you actually can work a lot less and struggle a lot less in life. So that's where we begin. If you listen real close, you'll hear little bits of your emails and your communications with me in this. It's not just my random bits. It's also your random bits as well. So I'm going to take a little break, drink some coffee, and save this bit. We'll be back with part two in just a moment.